Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Church of Turing, Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 28, 2016, or it is Thebeth 30, 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled Ivory Palaces. Masha has gone so wondrous fine, and Mother Texas filled its fragrance reached to the heart of mine, its joy in my being filled. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. His life had also his sorrow sore, from all us had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. His garments to Rinchesia dip with healing in the touch. Each time I feed him some sinner's flesh, he took me from his flesh. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. And John's glorious he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palace into your world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. Children of the barren more than the children of the barren woman. This is part two. We're in Timely Greetings, volume one, number 39. We're on page 10. Let's just continue on. It says, let's do a little review. Isaiah 54, verse 6 and 7. For the Yahweh hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thou Elohim, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. For the statement, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, being set forth in contrast unto the statement, but with great mercies will I gather thee, show that Elohim's forsaking her is her dispersion among the Gentiles, and that her gathering is her returning unto the homeland for the inhabiting of the desolate cities. Isaiah 54:8-9. As we go into the next, it says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of the Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. That which she has gone through, she will go through no more. As sure a promise as the promise to Noah, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Genesis 9:13. Isaiah 54:10-11. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith Yahweh, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires. What else could her stone stand for, if not for her members, the children, and what could her foundation depict, if not her apostles, founders? Those whom the Yahweh uses for the work of such a revival and reformation. Such was the privilege of the 12 apostles at the beginning of the apostolic movement. Recognizing this glorious fact, inspiration wrote, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, Revelation 21:4. The statement, I will lay thy foundation with sapphire, denotes that she is now being founded, that the Yahweh is now building from the bottom up, Isaiah 54:12. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stone. If the literal use of windows is to give light and air, and what could this symbolism denote if not her seers, those who bring light and truth unto the church of the Yahweh? And if literal gates are used to keep out the undesirable elements, then in the spiritual realm, they must symbolize her watchmen of the ministry. What a wonderful illustration. What a sanctified group of people it vividly projects. Stones of fair colors, and foundations of sapphires, windows of gates, agates, gates of carbuncles, and all her borders of pleasant stones, every soul a jewel. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir, Isaiah 13:12. For Zion's sake, says Yahweh, will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy Elohim. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Yahweh delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Isaiah 62:1-4. Now it is plainly seen that the Laodiceanism shall forever pass away, that Yahweh will have a house of Israel without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. You cannot afford to be left out of it You must join the advocates of this truth if you are to become a part of this glorious movement. Isaiah 4:13 and 17, and all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy, and no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Yahweh. Evidently, we are slow to be convinced that the mighty Elohim of the Jacob is able for the protection and for the keeping of his of us from all evil, else he would not be trying time and again for the convincing us of his ability by the further explaining that as he has created the smith and the waster and has put them to work, just so he is able to make their instruments and efforts of none effect. Elohim persuasion, you see, is such that a little child can understand, and all these promises are the heritage of the servants of the Yahweh. How can we afford to let them go? Are they not cheap enough, since faith is all they cost? Let us therefore believe, and they shall be ours forevermore. We have now learned that Abraham's two wives and two sons are an allegorical forecast of the Old and New Testament churches, that Ishmael's arrival prefigured fleshly Israel, and that Isaac's arrival prefigured spiritual Israel, the Christian, that Ishmael persecuting Isaac was a forecast of the Jews persecuting the Christian, that Abraham's act of disinheriting and sending Hagar and her son away from home foreshadowed Yahweh's act of putting away and disinheriting fleshly Israel, that only those who are born again, born of the Spirit, will inherit the kingdom, that Isaac, who came into this world only by the power of Yahweh, foreshadowed the apostolic congregation, but especially the soon coming apostolic antitypical kingdom, in which there is to be no Ishmaelite, no person brought in by the will of the flesh, no tares, no bad fish, no ghosts, only saints, only such as should be saved. And no one can be such as should be saved if he does not believe what the Word says, if he does not take his stand on the truth side. Only they that hunger for truth and righteousness will be filled and become his precious jewels, are fit to be a part of this Yahweh's jewel building, as they shall be mine, saith Yahshua of the host, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his son, his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3:7-18. It is a terrible thing to disbelieve the word of Yahweh, or to be indifferent, indecisive, and inactive. Alright, this brings the end of our study on Time of Reading, Volume 1, Number 39. We're going to go right on into Number 40. And let's look at Zion and the height of her glory. That's text of address, May the 10th, 1947, by V.T. Hardoff. Once again, that's Time of Greetings, number 1, volume 1, number 40. And we start with Isaiah 60, verse 1. Our study says the first thing It says, there we read, arise, shine, for thy light is coming, the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. Alright. But the first thing we need to know in this study is a person whom inspiration asked to arise. This chapter being a continuation of the 54th chapter, we will therefore look there for the information. It is shown that it is the barren woman. This is Sarah now. This is Sarah, the barren woman, but she's the legal wife of Abraham. And Yahweh's servants in the antitypical apostolic congregation of the Israel for today, he is calling his congregation to arise and to shine because her light has come. As to whether he is addressing his servants at this present time, in the past or in the future, let us read again. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified, Isaiah 60, verse 21. This verse does not say that her people are already righteous, but that they shall be righteous. It does not say that they have inherited the land, but that they shall inherit it. His congregation, therefore, is to be purified and made white by Elohim's doing away with the tares. Since her people have never to this day been all righteous, it is plain to see that the fulfillment of the prophecy is yet future. And in view of the fact that our message is announcing the imminent purification of the house of Israel, the house of David, the time in which the angels are to sift out the hypocrites from among the faithful, the time in which the net is drawn to shore and the bad fish cast out for the cleansing of the sanctuary, the judgment for the living, in the house of the Elohim, 1 Peter 4:17, is about to begin. Inspiration, therefore, in this chapter is addressing Elohim's church at this particular time. Since we now see that this chapter contains important timely truth, we shall study it verse by verse. Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. Who can truthfully say that our light is not come? That our message is not timely, truth. None who are in contact with it, I am sure, inspiration is therefore inviting Yahweh's people, the denomination along with us, to arise and shine. The word shine is what we must study next that we may know what is required of us. A black, dirty object never reflects, it consumes all the light unto itself. The moon shines because its surface is of the white substance. If it were made of the black substance, it could not reflect any light whatever. The same is true with the spiritual light. If we are eager to shine, we must now arise and clean up, put away our black, filthy garments, take an active part in this revival and reformation. Under the supervision of the Holy Spirit, stupidity, fanaticism, and indifference must be abandoned and divine thinking put in action, so commands the Yahweh. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55:7-11. We must clean up our thoughts, our ways, our bodies, our clothes, our homes, inside and out. Cleanliness is righteousness. Yahweh's government is law and order, peace and righteousness, joy and contentment. Thus we need to be polished by the Spirit of Yahweh, be altogether Christians if we are to shine. If we are ever to reflect the word of Yahweh to those who sit in darkness, if you have taken care of all the things the message teaches, then as your supreme duty and divine privilege, take what inspiration says, arise, shine, for thy light has come, for the glory of Yahweh has risen upon thee. Those who are now sitting down as dark objects, consuming light unto themselves, should now embrace the opportunity and welcome the privilege. Today is your opportunity. Isaiah 60 verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The word behold connotes that if you look, you can see the signs of darkness already hovering about you. Gross darkness means that the people will be at a complete loss to know which way to turn, that they will be entirely confused and perplexed. Now is our opportunity to respond to Yahweh's call and to get ready to meet the situation. We should now fully realize that we are in reality called to be the light to the denomination and ultimately to the world. Wonderful indeed that we should be the chosen ones from among the great masses of the world. You cannot afford to miss on this privilege. Act now. Isaiah 60 verse 13. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. We are now to now the most obscure people in the world. But the day is already here in which we shall be best known. Here is the sure promise that if we now arise from sitting down and make the effort to reach Yahweh's set goal, for us the result shall be that the Gentiles shall come to our light and the kings to the brightness of our rising. This is the acceptable day for you. Isaiah 60 verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Even now, if we lift up our spiritual eyes, says the Yahweh, we shall see that all things are now ready. The call along with the signs of the times is too plain for one to suppose that the day is far off. Our sons and daughters in this message are soon to be gathered unto us from the ends of the earth. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The force of Gentiles shall come unto thee. When this comes to pass, then the remnant shall plainly see and flow together. The abundance of the wealth of the Gentiles shall be turned over unto them. Isaiah 60 verse 6 to 9. The multitude of the camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of Yahweh. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. It shall come for the acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the dust of their windows? Surely the hour shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of Yahweh, thy Elohim, and unto the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Our sons and daughters in the face shall come as a storm by air and sea. They shall come because Yahweh will glorify all his people. The call come out from my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her glory a pledge. Revelation 18:4 shall indeed along with the wealth of the Gentiles bring out a great multitude which no man can number. Revelation 7:9. Isaiah 60, verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. In Ezra and Nehemiah's time, the people of Yahweh, the Jews themselves, had to build against great odds. Before the church purified, the Gentiles shall gladly build. Not only the common people, but even their kings are to minister unto the servants of Yahweh. Kings are now the bosses, but the day is almost here in which Elohim's servants shall boss the kings, and the kings shall be glad to be bossed by them. Isaiah 60, verse 11. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought. Because of our response unto Elohim's call, and because of our rising to shine for him, many people shall say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh, unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:3. For this very obvious reason, the gates, as it were, would have to stay open day and night, in order to accommodate the traffic, the incoming saints, the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings. Plainly then, the great need is not the harvest and gathering campaign, not the multiple collections, not the book sales day, not any goal raising campaign, but to take this golden oil for our lamps and to arise and shine is what the church needs today. Isaiah 60, verse 12 and 13. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. For the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The place where the Yahshua's feet shall then stand is in the valley of the mountains. Zechariah 14:5. It is to be made most glorious. Isaiah 60, verse 14 and 15. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at their soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal ecstasy, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. As babes are admirably treated and nourished, so shall the Gentiles and their kings gladly wait on the saints, and from their abundance shall cheerfully feed Yahweh's servant. Isaiah 60, verse 17. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I'll also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. Yes, better than the best shall the house of Yahweh be built. Isaiah 60, verse 18. Thou shall no more be heard in thy land, or wasting, nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Now when the world needs and longs for peace more than ever before, Yahweh, who only is able to give it, is loudly declaring that those who really want peace can have it if they but come to him. This hope and faith in the promises of the Elohim is even now to be our only peace of mind if we really believe. Isaiah 60, verse 19 to 22. For the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give a light unto thee, but the Yahweh shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Elohim thy glory. For thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Yahweh shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. Father Yahweh will hasten in his time. And all of Elohim's servants as one arise and shine. Then a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. Then the saints will be quickly gathered, and wickedness brought to an end. This is Yahweh's way for finishing the gospel work. We had better abandon our man-conceived ideas of it and wholeheartedly respond to Elohim's call if we expect to survive through the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, if we expect to rejoice in the height of Zion's glory. If we stand faithful to Elohim's word, we shall finally behold all these wonders and live forevermore. End of number 40. Now we're going to go into number 41. It's entitled The Fruit of the Anointed One. And it's May 17, 1947, the Viti Olive. Once again, that's the number one atomic reading, number 41. And we're going to start with Isaiah 61:1-2. For the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Yahweh and the day of his vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn. These are the two verses which Yahshua read as he stood in the synagogue of the city of Nazareth, the place where he was brought up. He read these verses and then sat down without making any comment. As his listeners were still in a stupor as to why he had read and then had sat down without adding a word, Yahshua rose again and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears?" The reason given for the Spirit's power upon him is that the Yahweh Elohim had anointed him to preach good tidings unto the meek, implying that if the Yahweh had not anointed him to preach, the Spirit of Yahweh would not have been on him. Moreover, he was anointed to preach unto the meek, to those who are not self-sufficient, not high-minded, but humble and teachable. The other class could not be taught. He was to comfort all that mourn, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, not to free them immediately. The acceptable year of Yahweh is the time in which the scripture is fulfilled. Well, this scripture is being fulfilled in 2016. We've seen this fulfilled right before our eyes, coming to pass. It is unsealed and proclaimed. Those who give no heed unto it are to be swept away in the day of vengeance. These were the good tidings for which Yahshua was anointed. Unbelief and indifference is revealed, and revealed truth is an insult unto Yahweh and a sin against the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. Simply because the Savior preached these two verses, however, we must not conclude that the whole chapter was then fulfilled, or that the fulfillment of these two verses could not again be fulfilled at the time the rest of the chapter is fulfilled. As the same Spirit was also upon the apostles, upon those who furthered the Yahweh's message in that day, so also it must be in this day, in the day the whole chapter is fulfilled. The duty of those who proclaim this chapter's message is, in Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourning Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of the righteousness, the planting of the Yahweh, that he might be glorified. For the burden of the Spirit is to improve the spiritual conditions of those who mourn in Zion, the church, to give them beauty for ashes, for the penance and humbleness, all of joy for morning, a present truth that hopefully lightens the rest of the way, and garments, churches of prayer, so that they may be as living ornaments of righteousness, a new creation of Yahweh, that He be glorified. Here is seen that the original creation of Yahweh, which has been lost through sin, is to be restored. Now is a supple day to open your heart, to take in present truth, to recreate and restore that which was lost through sin. Isaiah 61:4. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Those who are made glad and beautiful, who are clothed with praise, and who become trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, His triumphant servant, the guiltless Ezra and Nehemiah of today are to restore all things. Isaiah 61:5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. The strangers or aliens here mentioned are not strangers and aliens unto the kingdom of Yahweh, but unto the nation, not a blood relation, to Judah and Israel. And not of the stock of Jacob, not of the 144,000 who first stand on Mount Zion, but with them. Isaiah 61:6. But ye shall be a name, the priests of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. Ye shall eat the riches of Gentile, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. In the forthcoming antitypical kingdom of Judah, therefore, there shall be two groups of people, ministers and laity. From these scriptures we see that the kingdom of Yahweh, the church purified, free from terrors, is a real thing. It is not something imaginary, not something foamy, floating and lost in space, but right here on earth. Isaiah 61:7, for your shame, ye shall have double and full confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. These ministers of Yahweh are to have double because of the shame which they have endured. All such rejoice in their portion. Are you disposed to suffer for Yahshua's sake? Are you like or unlike those who seek joy and friendship from the world and who sooner or later are to find themselves in great disappointment? Believe that that is all? For Isaiah 61:8, for I, the Yahweh, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in the truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Judgment and justice in Elohim's motto for all his creatures. For the statement, I hate robbery for burnt offering, implies that such unbecoming things are now practiced among his people. In this connection, some years ago, I heard a certain member of the church say that in some kind of gambling, he had won a little money, and as his conscience hurt him to keep it, he gave it to, as an offering to his church. Also, I have heard several say that they work on the Sabbath, but that they turn the Sabbath earnings over to the church. These incidents may serve as samples of how foolish, how uneducated in the things of Yahweh are the people of Yahweh. By bringing such offerings to Him, they are making Yahweh a gambler and a Sabbath breaker, and at the same time, they imagine they are doing Him a great favor. Yahweh's promise unto His people is, I will direct their work in the truth. Are we then to question His ability to perform, and at the same time expect Him to give us a home in His kingdom? Isaiah 61:9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge Him, that they are the seed which the Yahweh hath blessed. What a blessed hope, what a power, to save both the young and the old, and to make their names known worldwide. For such a fame as this, people will go through almost any torture known unto mankind. Abraham, though, is only asking you to believe and to comply with his word. Yes, that is all. Christianity has become a real thing, so real that the Gentiles will acknowledge that such Christians can only be the planting of Yahweh, and that only the power of Yahweh can bring such a change in the human heart, and cause his saints to say, Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh, my soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, he hath covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. This chapter of Isaiah, the prophet is indeed to bring revival and reformation, such as has never taken place since the beginning of sin. Elohim forbids that any one of us should miss the experience and the blessings that come through this revival and reformation. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh Elohim will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Through the seed of the truth in the heart, this experience will come unto Elohim's people as naturally as does the earth cause the seed sown in it to bud and bring forth fruit. This is indeed the righteousness of Yahshua, not the might of man. Summing up this study, we learn that the fruits of the anointed one are these, that Yahshua was anointed to preach the good news, news that he was to open the prison door of sin, to bind up the wounds of the Elohim's people, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh, to comfort those who mourn, and to give all an opportunity to escape the day of vengeance, that because he was thus anointed, he was fitted to comfort them that mourn in Zion, to bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the gift of praise, and the place of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, that Elohim might thereby be glorified, that through the gift of the Spirit, his people shall be enabled to build up the desolated places of many generations, that those who are called now are to be ministers of Elohim, and they shall eat the riches of Gentiles and glory in them as strangers, and aliens shall be their shepherds and vine dressers. Their shame and confusion will be changed into everlasting joy. That as Elohim hates robbery, he will direct the work in the truth and make an everlasting covenant with them that know him. That then their seed shall be known unto the Gentiles and among the people, and they will acknowledge that Yahweh has blessed his people, that because the anointed one clothes his people with the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness, the testimony of his children will be, I will greatly rejoice in the Yahweh, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, so the spiritual adornment given through these gifts will bring on the revival and reformation, and that as nature brings to fruition the seed sown in the ground, so the anointed one will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Ample provisions have been made to for all who sincerely, earnestly, and thoughtfully set about the work of perfecting holiness in the fear of the Father. Strength, grace, and glory have been provided through Yahshua to be brought by ministering angels unto the heirs of salvation. None are so low, so corrupt, and vile that they cannot find Yahshua who died for them strength, purity, and righteousness if they will put away their sins, cease their course of iniquity, and turn with full purpose of the heart unto the living Elohim. He is waiting to strip them of their garments stained and polluted by sin, and to put upon them the white, bright robes of righteousness, and he bids them live and not die. In him they may flourish. Their branches will not wither, nor be fruitless if they abide in him. They can draw sap and nourishment from him, be imbued with his spirit, walk even as he walked, overcome as he overcame and be exalted to his own right hand. Testimony, Volume 2, page 453. There's a wideness in Yah's mercy. There's a wideness in Yah's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more gracious for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in his blood. For the love of Yah is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more simple, we should take him at his word, and our lives should be all sunshine in the sweetness of our Yahweh. Okay, end of number 42. Number 41. Now we go into number 42. We still have some time left. And let's see what the title of that is. It's God's Reward and Yahweh's Mighty Effort. This afternoon we shall study the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. Okay, it says... The very first things we need to know about this chapter is whether it was written especially for the people of the day or especially for the people of yesterday, and whether this message is to be given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church or to the world. For the finding out, we shall read the 11th verse. Behold, Yahweh hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, says the Yahweh, I have proclaimed unto the end of the world, not unto some other time, this divine proclamation. Therefore, it is for those who are living in the time of the end. Unto them, the chapter is now unsealed, and their commission is to take it unto the daughter of Zion, to the house of David. This is the mountain of the house of Yahweh, of Israel. Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. You cannot, therefore, and Isaiah, and Daniel 2, verse 44 and 45, you cannot, therefore, afford to excuse yourself from this call for service. Isaiah 62:1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Here we are told that the Yahweh will continue thus to speak, not for the sake of the world, but for the sake of the church, so that she may eventually stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, and he will thus continue until the righteous thereof go forth his brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. This implies that the righteousness of his people at the proclamation of this chapter is but dimly, if at all, going forth, and that the salvation thereof is not now as a lamp that burneth, but as a lamp, the light of the which is gone out. His mighty effort is nevertheless to bring forth a great change. The righteousness of Yahshua is to shine forth as bright as the sun. For the conclusion, then, is that without the additional message, the church will never reach her goal. And anyone's unconcerned attitude in this urgent call for service is sure to bring his doom. Yahweh's true people are, nevertheless, to awaken and embrace the call. Unto them is the church, says the Yahweh. Isaiah 62:2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. For the righteousness of Zion shall be so pronounced that the Gentiles shall be attracted by it, and all their kings by her glory. It is for this very reason that the present church name will not then be befitting her. As you know, there are now hundreds of churches' names in the world, as many names as there are isms, all of which are named by the mouth of the men. Although Elohim recognized but one church, many of the names even suggest divine competition. For instance, do not the names Church of Yahshua and Church of Yahweh make Yahshua and Elohim competitors? Whatever the new name be, it will entirely benefit the church. to her righteousness as here projected. We are now living in a confused world. Some are of Paul and some of Apollos and of Cephas, Peter, John, and James. Some of Yahweh and some of Yahshua. Christians are thus bickering and quarreling among themselves. One speaking against the faith of another, and at the same time all are trying to convert to Yahshua the non-Christian world. What darkness to the church which Elohim has now created, he said. Isaiah 62:3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy Elohim. The church here projecting is to be made up only of a righteous spirit, spirit-led people. Her new name is doubtless to express this fact. Wonderful indeed to be the Yahweh's crown of glory and his royal diadem. You certainly cannot afford to let this glory get away from you. Act today. Isaiah 62:4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate. For thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Yahweh delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Because Yahweh is to delight in her, and also because her land is to be married to her, she is also to be called Hephzibah, and her land Beulah. For the congregation of Israel in times past has been forsaken a number of times, once in Egypt, then in Babylon, in Rome, and so on, but she is never again to be forsaken, and her land is never again to be left desolate. Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy Elohim rejoice over thee. Marriage signifies an everlasting union. Thus the church has the promise that her homeland shall now forever be hers, and her sons converts shall never part from her. Isaiah 62:6-7. I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Yea, that make mention of the Yahweh, keep not silence and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Yahushua praise in the earth. Not that he will sit, but that he has already set watchmen that shall never neglect their duty night or day. And so, you that now make mention of the Yahweh ought not to keep silent, but praise him and speak of his wonderful love and truth. Now is your opportunity to prove, to promote his cause, to make it your chief business, your chief interest, your highest joy. Now is the time to say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not forget thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, Psalms 137:5-6, to this end, pray and work. Give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let this be your delight as you are his delight. Isaiah 6:2-9. Yahweh has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the son of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored, that they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise Yahweh, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the course of my holiness. Elohim's people have been robbed time and again, and the most outrageous and unreasonable robbery that they have suffered has been, and still is being done, by their own brethren in the faith. How? At every upward step in the truth throughout the congregation's history of Israel, and down until this day, those who have ever embraced new unpopular truths have in every instance been over, and thrown out of the church which they helped build. This has been done only because on the one hand the majority have ever ruled, and on the other hand only the minority have ever been susceptible to the present truth unto meat in due season. The time is here, though, in which all manner of robbers shall cease. Unto those who are being cast out, this encouraging counsel and promise is given. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, they cast you off my namesake, said, let the Yahweh be glorified, but he shall appear in your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:5. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Yahweh now is repeatedly asked everyone within the hearing of his voice to fearlessly go through Zion's gates and say unto her, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. We therefore cannot do otherwise but go through, for it is our Elohim given duty to prepare the way of the people. We must build a highway, a way for them to come over unto the light of Elohim, and thus unto his kingdom. We must gather out every obstacle that stands in the way, and must lift up a standard for the people, a standard which they can see and follow as it leads ahead. What could be the standard be? The very standard which the people are to see and to follow is Yahshua in his truth. Okay, Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Yahshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, this is the house of David, this is the kingdom of David in the 12th hour. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. This started in 2002 at the Passover. This verse, as we learned at the beginning of our study, clears two things. First, that this chapter definitely contains a message to the Seventh-day Adventist Church at the end of the world. Second, that since it proves that this chapter is now, for the first time, being unsealed and brought to our attention, we are sent with a message into the church and definitely shows that we have come to the time of the end, the time in which man-made institutions are forever to pass away. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. Let me click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Our servant risen Savior is in the world today. I know that he is living, forever men must say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just as I'm a need him, he's always near. He lives, Yahshua lives again. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives. Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. He loves me how I know. sing. Eternal hallelujah to Yahshua the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me the long blessed way. He walks with me and talks with me the long blessed way. He lives, He lives, salvation to Him part. Bless me heart.